You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
Why are we called to help others follow Jesus? Find out more in week 6 of our series, Forward.
Good morning, everyone. Tell your seatmate, I'm so glad you are here this morning. And I believe we're being joined by some leaders from Manila. Pinky Romualdez, are you here? There she is. Palakpak naman po natin. All right. Now, today we are down to the 6th installment of our series called Forward. Okay, let me just see a show of hands for a while. Who among you have been with us the past 5 Sundays? Okay, not including today. Can I see your hands for a while? Okay, very good. For the benefit of maybe some of you who've joined us for the first time, this is how we do series. This is a 9-week series, so one installment builds to another. All right, so we're working on an effort wherein things will happen seamlessly. So that is why I want to encourage everyone, if you haven't been here last week or last week or you haven't been in this series, I would want to encourage you to get to the podcast, try to listen so that you would understand the context of what we're talking about here, okay? 2 Sundays ago, I didn't preach here, but Tom did a wonderful job in preaching about understanding the gospel. For the past 2 Sundays, we have been talking about the gospel. Now, I want you to understand this. All of us here is a product of a gospel, amen? And we are always thankful to God for the gospel, for His message of grace. I believe Tom and Martin shared or preached a powerful message about understanding the gospel. And true enough, because there's no reason that you can preach something that you do not know. Okay, there's no reason that you cannot share something that you do not have. So it is important for us, it is but imperative for us as Christians to come to a point wherein we understand what the gospel is all about. Okay? And then last week, we've said, now that we've understand what the gospel is, we said, it doesn't just end with us, but we have to what? We have to go out there and start preaching the gospel. Okay, that is what we do with the gospel. So if you would look at that, they're basically tied to each other. Understanding the gospel and preaching the gospel. Okay, they basically go hand in hand. Okay, now, what we're going to talk about here today is basically the continuation of that. You understand the gospel, you preach the gospel, there's a next phase to that. There's a next phase in preaching the gospel. Let me just try to explain this for a while. I don't know with you, but have you ever had friends who would start up conversations about interesting things, and then you get so excited about their story, and then suddenly they just cut short, and they just leave you hanging? You folks get what I mean? Like, people would come to you, grabiha, bay, lamia sa pagkaon sa kaninga restaurant, bay. Unya, unya, tapos wala na. Tahimik na siya. I mean, nothing can be more annoying than that. In the same way, I want us to understand that preaching the gospel, you preach the gospel to someone, it doesn't end there. I don't just come to Omar and preach the gospel to him. Bible says, whenever you preach the gospel, God does His part. Basically, what happens? People are cut to the heart. Whenever you preach the gospel, God does some supernatural thing in the life of the person. Because at the end of the day, I want you to understand, preaching the gospel has nothing to do with our voice. It has nothing to do with our personality. It is God who works things out in the lives of the people. And the reason why you're here is because someone preached the gospel to you. Now, I want us to understand this. You don't just end in preaching the gospel and then we leave people hanging. There's a next phase to that, and that is what we call discipleship. There's basically the next phase. Okay, you preach the gospel to someone. After that, you don't just leave them hanging. You start what? Discipling them. If you preach the gospel, it's like you're leading someone to the right path. You're pointing them to the right direction. But if you don't disciple them, then you're basically like leading them to a what? To an unfinished bridge. All right? It's like leading them to an unfinished bridge. And it is our responsibility to basically make disciples. So today, okay, what a long introduction to tell everyone that we're going to talk about discipleship. Acts chapter 14, verse 21, quite an interesting verse. This is not our main text here today. But if you would look at this, it says here, when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples. You catch that? In one verse, we see that there's the preaching of the gospel and there's making disciples. So you don't just preach the gospel without making disciples. Preaching the gospel and making disciples go hand in hand. All right, I hope we're very clear with that as we start talking about discipleship here today. Having said that, if you look at this verse, let me just clarify something. There's some of you here, you're Bible scholars, so let me just try to clarify something. I do understand that preaching the gospel is also discipleship. But I want us to understand this. Preaching the gospel is just the starting point of discipleship. What I'm trying to say here is, whenever you talk about discipleship, it is a spillover of what? A gospel-saturated life. Right. Meaning to say, because you know what Christ has done for you, you go out there and start preaching what Christ has done for you. We have been reconciled to God through the ministry of reconciliation, and we have been given the message of reconciliation. I want us to turn our Bibles for a while to Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. For those of you who've gone through one-to-one, this is one of the first few verses that you've encountered. Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, it says here, "And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Let me just come here for a while. Then we're going to go to John chapter 21 here this morning. Look at this one. It says here, Jesus said to them, he was talking about his first few disciples. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. I want to throw this question to everyone. When someone asks you, or someone requests you to follow them, do you think you have an option? Do you have a choice? If your seatmate tells you, can you follow me to Robinson's? You can say no because you don't know your seatmate. You folks get what I mean? So whenever you talk about someone asking you to follow them, you have a choice whether to what? To follow them or not. Now, in terms of following Jesus, I want us to understand this. Jesus is very clear. This is talking about us following Jesus, not following victory. Are we clear so far? I have to say that because I want us to understand discipleship is not just following the person who discipled you, because you will end up frustrated. Your leader, your pastor, no matter how good-looking they are, will frustrate you, will disappoint you. So the call to discipleship is a call to follow Jesus. Now, if you're here this morning, and I would rather assume that you want this, and you say yes to following him, the next line here is no longer optional. So meaning to say, if you decide to follow Jesus, Bible says you will be a fisher of men. You will be a fisher of men. It is but automatic for us to start going out there and make disciples. You know, in victory, I want us to understand this. Some of you have been with us for 5 years, 10 years. Some of you have been with us for 5 weeks. You would observe that every single event that we have or we will ever have that will not produce any disciples, those are things that we will never do. At the end of the day, every single thing that we do here is funneled to discipleship. Not just that, every single thing that we do here is also an offshoot of discipleship. So at the end of the day, it's all about what? Honoring God and making disciples. John chapter 21, verses 15 to 19. It says here, when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than this? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. In verse 17, he said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved, okay, because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, Peter, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, follow me. Let me see a show of hands for who am I familiar with this story? Three times Jesus asking Peter if Peter loves him. I think all of us are familiar with the story. John chapter 21, in fact, is one of my favorite part of the scripture, especially the first few parts before the part that we've just read. John chapter 21, the book of John, we all know the writer of that, that's the beloved John. And you know what's fascinating here? John records a private conversation. Because if you would know this, Jesus actually brought Peter out from them and started talking to Peter. But I don't know what John was doing. I'm not sure. I don't think he was eavesdropping. I think because of the closeness of their relationship, it's either Jesus told him about that or Peter told him about that conversation. But here's what I understand about this conversation. Look at this one. Because of this conversation, Peter's perspective about discipleship and preaching the gospel changed forever. There's something about their conversation that stirred something in the life of John, in the heart of John, that after this, he became a different person, shall I say. He understood things differently. Earlier in Peter's life, in Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, this was Jesus' call for him. Jesus called him out. He said to them, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." Now look at this one. When this invitation was given to Peter, Peter, in fact, did what Jesus wanted him to do. Left everything behind and started following Jesus. Now, let me tell you something. In 3 years of doing ministry, do you think they were successful? Do you think they were successful? I think they were successful. I mean, imagine this course of people at the end of 3 years following Jesus Christ. And of course, Jesus did it with the help of his disciples led by a guy named Peter. Meaning to say, everything was falling right in place for Jesus and his disciples until something happened. Everybody say that with me for a while. Something happened. We all know what happened. For some reason, okay, at the tail end of Jesus' ministry, this happened to Jesus. Guess what? When this happened, bang, disciples started scattering. Here we see a Peter who was supposed to be a leader of the 11 disciples at that point. And then Jesus told him, "You're going to deny me not once, not twice, but 3 times. And I was like, "No way, I'm not going to do that to you." Pinutol ko nga yung tenga nung kalaban mo. I mean, imagine the courage of this person. Perhaps one of the most impulsive person was ever walked this earth. And we all know when Jesus was crucified, we have witnessed one of the major blunders of a man named Peter. Now, I don't know with you, when he realized he made a mistake, who am I here? Sometimes, in the course of you following Jesus Christ, you love Jesus, you do your devotions, you disciple people, but we know that in this lifetime, we will never be perfect, amen? So meaning to say, friends, look at this one. We will make mistakes. We will make mistakes. I am not prophesying that over you. I'm just telling you the reality of things. We will make mistakes. And that is basically what happened to a leader called Peter. He made big blunders, major failures. And because of that, something happened in his heart. He felt like, this is it. 3 years, I've been following Jesus Christ. This man is the real deal. And then suddenly the Romans overpower Jesus. I don't know, maybe he ended up scratching his head. Is this really for real? Folks, look at this for a while. Maybe for some of us, where something's like that. You come here, you worship God, you love God. A major obstacle, major circumstance comes into your life, and you start wondering if Jesus is real in your life. And sometimes you feel bad about having that thought, and you would see that you could actually relate to Peter right here. What happened to him was, after making a huge mistake, Peter, what happened to him? He was in hiding, and he soon went back to fishing. That is in John chapter 21. If you remember, here's what Peter did. They were together. Jesus was already dead at this time. Jesus was already crucified, and they were together. Guess what? As a leader, you're supposed to be the one encouraging your friends. Amen? That is what a leader does. Okay, in fact, I want you to understand this. As a leader, you will pay a high price for low enthusiasm. And that is basically what happened to Peter. You know, he was like, instead of encouraging his disciples, you know what he said? He said, "Guys, just stay here. I need to go back fishing." My goodness, for 3 years, you've never heard that from him. For 3 years of being with Jesus Christ, you've never heard of Peter going back fishing. But now that Jesus is gone, he was like saying, "I need to go back fishing." Folks, listen, I want to be forward with everyone. You know how that translates in our generation right now? It's like saying, "I'm going to go backslide." Why? Because it is Peter relinquishing his call to fish for men, and he wants to go back to his old life in fishing for fish. He was like thinking, this thing now is useless. I need to go back to where Jesus found me. He was in hiding, and soon he went back fishing. And you know what? If you ask me about Peter's life, I feel like this is catastrophic. Meaning to say, when he decided to go fishing, you know what happened to the rest of the disciples? The rest of the disciples went back fishing with him. Folks, listen, I want you to understand this. Don't you ever think that your life is just an isolated one? whatever you do will always have a repercussion to the people around you. As a father, as a mother, as a brother, as a sister, even as a student, you don't ever think that just because you don't have a leadership position that you don't have an influence to the people around you. That's not true. As a Christian, guess what? A lot of people are watching how you live your life. So if you choose to honor God first to some extent, people will also choose to honor God. If you choose not to honor God to a certain extent, you're going to become a what? I hate to say this, but a stumbling block to the people around you. One of the major mistakes of Peter as a leader was that he dragged everyone into his backsliding. Are folks with me? That is in John chapter 21, he went back fishing. And I want to throw this question to everyone. Why did Peter abandon, okay, the mandate to fish for men and went back fishing? It's very simple. You know, Peter felt disqualified. He felt like, I made a mistake. That's why I'm not worthy to preach the gospel. I sinned. Therefore, I'm not worthy to be in church. Sounds familiar? Guess what, friends? Those are the very lies that some of us have in terms of our life right now. We feel like just because we've sinned, we cannot come before the presence of God. Guess what? That is not true. Whoever said that people who come to church should be holy and perfect people. At the end of the day, it's not just us coming before God and telling God, Lord, I am qualified to come before you. It is Jesus who qualifies us. For Peter to feel disqualified, I don't know what was running in his mind. I don't know what was bothering his heart. But at the end of the day, I want us to understand, even if he was with Jesus, even at the moment when you feel like you are so holy, you're still disqualified. Because it is only by God's grace that we are qualified. But for Peter right here, he felt so disqualified. He felt like, I don't deserve to disciple. I don't deserve to share my story because of my mistakes, because of my sins. Now, what I want to share here this morning is not a message to give us a license to sin, but I'm just telling you, whether you sin or not, God's love for you stands the same. What is my point, friends? Just by contemplating sin, God loves you. During the time that you've decided to sin, God loves you. During the time that you were sinning, God loves you. During the time you don't feel like repenting of your sin, God loves you. Now, if you look at that in this perspective, that the God that I worship loves me just the same, I'm going to love him then. It's not thinking, because you love me whatever I do, then I'm going to do whatever I do with my life. But guess what? At the end of the day, there's a consequence for that. I want us to understand just two things about the calling that we have as Christians and the major mistakes and failures that we have as Christians. First things first, I want us to understand that God's love affirms our calling. We just can't beat that. Just can't. Have you ever met people who tell you, they'll come to you, bro, kuya, bes. Sabi mo, bes, alam mo, I made a mistake last week. Sabi naman, bes mo, oh nga, alam ko, judgmental pala yung bes mo. Have you ever met people who would come to you and tell you, you know what, I did this mistake, I feel so bad about it. And then you tell them about God's love, and then here's what they tell you. I just cannot forgive myself. I just cannot forgive myself. Listen, I want you to understand this. For us, Victory Dumaguete, I want you to understand this. If you keep thinking that you cannot forgive yourself, it only means one thing. I want you to understand that is not biblical. There's no such thing as forgiving yourself. You ask for God's forgiveness, and guess what? God readily what dispenses his forgiveness to you. At the end of the day, once you understand that God has forgiven you, move forward. People who keep saying, I cannot forgive myself, only means one thing. You're so self-consumed. That's why you can't make disciples, you can't move forward, is because you keep thinking about yourself. Forgiveness of self is not found in the scripture. You don't forgive yourself because you're not God. God forgives you. Nothing can beat God's love for us. If you are here and you've sinned 5 hours, so guess what? God's calling remains the same in your life. That's why I'm telling you that this is the God that we worship. The God that we worship, His love for us. That's why one of the descriptions of His love is what? His love is unconditional. So you don't base God's love based on how you love other people. Because our love is always conditional. You only love people who loves you. It's easier for us to love people whom we know are for us or who love us. But God isn't like that. The devil is. Whenever you talk about God, His love knows no condition. God's love affirms His calling. Folks, listen. This might be a message for some of you today. And I want you to embrace this fully with all your heart here. I want us to understand that sin does not disqualify us from receiving God's love. If someone preached to you otherwise, that isn't biblical. What the Bible teaches us is that your sin will not disqualify you from receiving God's love. In fact, that's the reason why God loves. The fact that we are all sinners is the very reason why He clothed Himself in flesh and blood and died on the cross for every single one of us. You know, Peter screwed up big time. I don't know with you, but sometimes I do this when I read the Bible. I put myself in their shoes. I try to feel the emotions. If I put myself in Jesus' place, imagine this with me. Let's say this group right here, this is like the 12 disciples of Jesus. Okay, the 12 disciples of Jesus. Can you choose a Peter from among you? Okay, David. Okay. Let's say, you know, David right here is Peter. So, whenever you have a group of people, there's always a leader that will always rise up. In their case, it wasn't John, it was Peter. Peter is the one who exhibits leadership for that matter. In fact, it is because of the call that God has placed in his life. Here comes the deal. 3 years of friendship. Guess what, friends? In our generation right now, whenever you gather with your friends, McCafe, Infinity, Bose Coffee, if you gather with your friends for 3 hours, 3 hours, 2 hours of that will be fiddling on cell phones. 1 hour is only for conversation. Am I right? You gather with your friends, everyone's on their cell phone. Umuwi na lang sana kayo. Diba? Mas malakas pa Wi-Fi. 2 hours for cell phone, 1 hour for conversation. During their time, guess what, friends? No Facebook, no Friendster, no Multiply, none of any of this social media, no Twitter, no Instagram. It's not like, oh guys, let's break bread. Okay, selfie muna, selfie, selfie. Angle, angle. Wala pong ganun. Guys, napansin nyo sa mga ladies, laging kailangan may angle. Di ba parang, pwede dito? Kailangan ba talaga yan? But anyway, look at this one. 3 years of deep friendship. Deep friendship. It's like 24 hours, 7 days a week, they were together. So imagine the trust of Jesus towards this guy. Man, I trust this guy. If I'm gone, this guy's gonna lead the church. This guy will always fight for me. And guess what? True enough, Peter fought for him. But at the tail end of it, Peter what? Denied him 3 times. Now, if you were Jesus, you know what happened in John chapter 21? Peter and his friends were fishing, and Jesus was on the shore in this story. Guess what? He was waiting for Peter. Kung kayo si Jesus, paano yung hintayin si Peter? When Jesus was waiting for Peter, he was cooking. He was preparing fish. But for us, imagine, your best friend. You see this in primetime bida telenovelas, right? Yung mga best friend naging boyfriend ng boyfriend niya noon. Yung mga ganung bagay. You know what? Kung tayo lang si Jesus, dumating si Peter, ang sasabihin na, traitor ka? Walang kwentang tao ka? I thought you're gonna stand for me. Palabas-labas ka pa ng sword. Wala palang pinagpala yung sword mo. You know what? Jesus said none of those things. He said none of those things. That's why our call is to be Christ-like. He said none of those things. He was like not saying, Peter, from now on, you lose your authority. You lose your position. Now, John, it's your turn now. You're the leader. It wasn't like that. Do you folks realize this? God is always in the business of restoring people. When Adam and Eve messed up, do you folks realize that God could have just created everything from zero? But He chose a bloody mess to deal with our bloody situation. Why? Because He's a God of restoration. So I want you to understand this. Whatever stage you are in your life right now, whatever sin that you have done, I want you to understand this. You are not far from God's compensation. There's nothing that you have done that God couldn't restore. Jesus basically didn't do anything to Him. Here's what I want you to understand. You know, the people would always focus on these words. Peter, do you love me? Right? How many times did Jesus ask this question? 3 times. Listen, I want you to understand the scenario first before Him asking that question. They were fishing for fish, got nothing. Right? Here comes a guy. Friends, haven't you any fish? Yung mga disciples naman, Brad, wala. Guess what? Jesus told them, throw your net on the right side of the boat. Through the net, as if naman barko yung dala nila. Nagfi-fish sila dito, walang fish. Pag throw ng net, ito may fish na. Parang, ang lit niyan. So meaning to say, while they were hauling it, wait a minute, this is miracle. This looks familiar. This has been happening when we are with Jesus. Guess what? If you are abiding in Christ, things start happening in your life. And here's what happened to Peter when he realized, man, this is a miracle. Someone from in the boat started yelling, what? Hey, it is Jesus. It is the Christ. You know what Peter did? Bible says, dropped the nets, tied something around him. Guess what? Jumped into the water and started going towards Jesus Christ. In all of this scenario, Jesus was doing something. Jesus was what? He was cooking fish. Moment Peter come up here, no questions asked, not saying, why did you deny me 3 times? None of that, friends. You know what Jesus did? Welcome Peter, sit down, let's eat, let's have fellowship, let's start talking, let's have the best time of our life. Then after that, he starts asking, do you love me? Meaning to say, he showed him first that he's accepted. He showed him first that he loves him before he starts asking Peter, do you love me, Peter? The only reason why Jesus is asking you if you love him is first and foremost, he has shown you how much he loves you. You're breathing right now. You're enjoying life right now. You get to eat right now. All of these things are basically an evidence of God's love for you. And that's the time Jesus starts asking us, do you love me? By doing all of those things, Jesus was like telling Peter, Peter, despite everything that you've done, I love you just the same. I love you just the same. Now, Peter, I want to hear it from you. Do you love me? Are you still devoted to me? When I was looking at this last night, I realized there's also a discipleship lesson here. One of the discipleship lessons that I understand here is this one. When you make a mistake, do not isolate yourself. When you sin, which all of us will get to this, do not isolate yourself. That's what Peter did. He started isolating himself. And I realized this. You know what? If you read your Bible, read the Gospels, you would come to understand this. Peter is always at his best when he is with his friends. And the same thing with his friends. You will always be at your best for God if you are with the right friends. People would spur you to love him. And in that context, there's a context of discipleship. There's a context of small group discipleship. So at the end of the day, discipleship is not an idea of a church, an idea of victory. It's basically a mandate that was given by God that we all need to grow in our relationship with him. If we love God, we'll always long for him, even if our sins would try to hinder us. You know, here's what Jesus said. After telling him, Peter, do you love me? Then he started saying, do you love me more than this? And he was pertaining to the fish. Because he was like saying, now that I have shown you, Peter, that I love you, and I'm asking you that if you love me, I'm going to give you a call. That's why he started asking, do you love me more than this? You know, the fish there could be equivalent to some of our stuff right now. It's like asking, do you love Jesus more than comfort? Do you love Jesus more than your business? Do you love Jesus more than money? Do you love Jesus more than high grades? Do you love Jesus more than promotions? Jesus is asking that question because there's no way that you can fulfill His mandate in your life if you love all of these things more than Him. I don't know with you, but if we always want to be comfortable, we will never go out there and make disciples. If we love ourselves so much, we nurse our hurt, we nurse our bitterness, guess what? You will never make disciples. You know, sometimes I do not understand why we always have to be right. You know why relationships get broken? Because the truth of the matter is, if we deal with relationships always involve tension, amen? There will always be tension. You put Omar and me in one room, we become roommates, guess what? Magkakatension kami. Magkakatension kami sa sabon, sa tuwalya. You folks with roommates, you know what I'm talking about, right? There will always be tension. But sometimes when we deal with relationship, we are so consumed with us being right. That's why you don't get to mend broken relationships. Whereas if we try to understand it in the context of which honors God, then guess what? If you want to honor God, you're the first person who's going to ask for apology. If we love ourselves so much, then we will never make disciples. At the end of the day, Jesus is asking us, do you love me more than all of these things? Because at the end of the day, if we start becoming others-focused, then that's the time we're going to preach the gospel and disciple people out there. God's love eclipses all of our failures. And the second thing that I want us to understand is this one. Your shortcomings do not disqualify us from fulfilling God's calling. Shortcomings will never disqualify you from fulfilling God's calling. Friends, listen. Some of you here have been a Christian for what, 10 years now? I even met someone in this church who's been a Christian for 30 years, 35 years. Man, I was like, my goodness, thank God for your life. If you're here and you've been a Christian walking consistently with God for the past decades, guess what? You are an inspiration to us, young people. But I want us to understand this, you know, along the way, we will have shortcomings. Why? We live in a fallen world. What do you expect? Some of you have received a concrete calling from God from 10 years ago. I don't know, maybe something happened along the way and you feel like, man, I have to just keep this somewhere. Or folks, maybe for some of you here, some words were spoken to you about your calling. I don't know, maybe you're a victim of someone judging you, telling you that you don't deserve this. But I tell you what, I hope and pray that today, as we look at the life of Peter, I hope today all of these things gets broken. We will have shortcomings, but whatever setbacks that you have, those things will not disqualify you from God's calling in your life. John chapter 21, verse 15 to 17. Simon, son of John, do you love me more than this? He said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Verse 17, he said to him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Three times. I feel like if I were in the position of Peter, I'll also start thinking about that. It's like, Lord, nakaka-offend na. Nakaka-offend three times. You know, this is not Jesus judging Peter, but this is Jesus basically reinstating Peter. You know what's funny here? If you're a student, you are a team leader in a group project. Or let's say you're a working professional. You're working in your company. And then you are a manager. You are a supervisor. Look at this one. You will delegate a responsibility to someone that you can trust. Right? I mean, if you're a class president, you don't delegate a responsibility to someone who's always absent. Right? Now, if you're here, some of you are thinking, bakit wala akong responsibility before? Problema mo na yun. You will always give responsibility to someone whom you trust. Jesus was asking Peter, Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? You know what? Why is that so? Because Jesus was about to entrust Peter a huge responsibility. And friends, listen, trust is important. Trust is important. And the responsibility of Peter is quite big. Jesus said to him, feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. Three responsibilities. Folks, look at this one.
This is a guy who denied him 3 times. This is a guy who backslid. Some of you have backslid at a certain point in your life. That's not the end of it. Look at Peter right here. Feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. The giving of responsibility is a showcase of God's trust and love to Peter. What's funny here is that first time that Peter encountered Jesus, Jesus said something to him. Peter, from this day on forward, if you follow me, I'm going to make you fishers of men. And Peter was like, baka may hawak pa siyang isda that time. Sabi niya, okay. Sounds cool, sounds easy. Because that's what I have been doing. It's just now, it's a larger calling, fish. Fishing for men. From fishing for fish to fishing for men. But look at this one now. Peter, this is a different responsibility now. This has nothing to do with fishing. Now, this is shepherding. Kung si David, siguro sinabihan ni Jesus, walang problema. Fisherman, sinabihan mo something about shepherding. It's a big thing. I want you to understand this. Just because you had a setback, just because you made a mistake, that doesn't mean that God cannot entrust you big things. That doesn't mean that God will not entrust you great things. That doesn't mean that just because you made a mistake, that doesn't mean that you can no longer do mighty exploits for the kingdom of God. As God restores you, He gives us responsibilities. John chapter 21, verse 18. Truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you'll stretch out your hands, another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go. You know, I do understand, you know, the context of this is given. This was like Jesus telling him, this is the manner at which you're going to die. But if you look at those verses right there, it was like saying, when you were young, Peter, you get to dress yourself. But as you get old, you will walk where you do not want to go. It's like an affirmation also of his calling. Apart from me, before, you get to live life the way you want it. Now that I am highly involved in your life, now that I have given you this call, there's an aspect of lordship. Obedience is necessary. As you disciple people, you might be going to places that you don't want to go. Maybe for some of you here, I don't know, I don't want to say it to all of you, but I feel like we all have our personal relationship with God. And I hope and pray when God tells you something, when God asks you to do something, I hope and pray that you start doing it before it's too late. I hope and pray that you don't wait for the right season. I'm waiting for the right season. You know what? God is not waiting for the right season. God is waiting for the right response. But every season in your life, you can obey God. You can honor Him. Some of you here, God has been telling you to go into discipleship. Some of you here, God has been telling you to start making disciples. Whatever the case, start doing it. Start making yourselves available to it. After saying all of these things, He said, follow me. Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, Peter, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. John chapter 21, major blunder of Peter. Jesus what? Restored him. I love you, Peter. I love you, Peter. I love you, Peter. Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. This is what you're going to do. Feed my sheep. Tend my lamb. Tend my sheep. And after saying all of these things, He said, okay, Peter, follow me. Still funnel down to one thing, following Jesus. Fishing for men. Still discipling. God's calling is greater than any of our shortcomings. Let me just end this by saying that after this event in John chapter 20, when comes Matthew chapter 20, Jesus came and said to him, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the very end of the age. Folks, I want us to understand that God does not call those who are qualified, but He qualifies those whom He has called. And because God has called you into His kingdom, God has adopted you to be His son, that God has adopted you to be His daughter, He's basically calling you into a life of discipleship. If you're here and you've been a Christian for the longest time, I want you to understand this. Don't you ever think that you've graduated from discipleship, because discipleship happens for the rest of our life. It's a lifetime process, basically. You don't come before God. You don't come before a church friend and tell everyone, I know that, I know this, I know that. Then, ikaw na. Mag-Jesus ka na. But I want us to understand this. There's always something that God is going to give us. There's always something new that God is going to give us. As we get into a life of covenant relationships. That is why church is important. I am a product of discipleship. I was messaging the guy who discipled me from years ago. I was just thanking him. I told him, do we have any pictures together? I want to show it to the church tomorrow. He said, bro, there's no Facebook during that time. It's like, okay. But folks, I want us to understand this. God has called you to make disciples. Whatever mistakes that you may have happened in your life, whatever shortcomings, all of those things do not disqualify you from God's calling your life. Amen.